Are you thinking about starting your own cash practice? Maybe you've already started your own practice and you're starting to realize that there's a lot to learn when it comes to business. We can be great clinicians, but if we don't understand the business side of having our own practice, we're going to have a hard time being successful in business. Guys, I wrote a book for you and I took everything that I've learned over the last 5 years of running a successful cash practice here in Atlanta, and I put it in this book, and I gave you everything that you need to be able to start and scale that practice past yourself. That book is called Fuck Insurance, and if you don't like the title, the book is not for you. If you do like the title, it's the exact book that you need to be reading right now. I show you exactly how to start. I show you what's important when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, when it comes to operations, and what stage you're actually at in the business, you know, where you're at, what you need to focus on while you're there, and how to get to the next stage. I'm trying to set it up in a way where you can get some clarity in your business. And the book for now is 100% free. All you have to do is go to finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com and get your free copy of the book that I wrote specifically to help you be successful in business. The book is free. All you got to do is pay for it to get to your door so that I don't lose my shirt on giving everybody all these books and sending them around the world. And again, head to finsurancebook.com. Learn how to run a successful cash practice today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Dr. Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and I got my buddy Jeff Vajay on today from Smart Athlete Physio and PT Everywhere. Some of you might have seen his software platform, which is specifically for cash practices in particular, and it is something that is definitely starting to get picked up by a lot of our colleagues, and we hear nothing but good things about him. We want to get a chance to talk to Jeff because when we talk about entrepreneurs within our community, I think Jeff is definitely a good example of someone that is just, that's just the way he is. It's entrepreneur for sure, having multiple companies and really trying to solve problems. And he was kind enough to jump on a call with me while he's in the car. He's a busy guy and he's making it work. And so we appreciate your time, Jeff. Thanks so much for jumping on the podcast today.
Oh, Danny, great to be here. I've listened to quite a few of your podcasts already. We've always had a few couple conversations, so super excited to be part of this today.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been great getting to know you a little bit more. Jeff and I were able to link up here in Atlanta recently. He does some work with a professional tennis association, and he was in Atlanta. We tried to go to a pizza place that was closed. That was my fault. And then we ended up going to a very much healthier place, Upbeat. If you're in Atlanta, definitely check that place out. That place is pretty awesome. But we got a chance to chat for a while before you went back and had the final match. How did that go, by the way? Did the entire tournament go well? Any catastrophic injuries?
No, luckily, you know, it's tennis, it's professional tennis. So like the most catastrophic is typically like an ankle sprain. So that's definitely within my wheelhouse, which is pretty good. But yeah, it's a great tournament. So yeah, that's my other side gig is I'm part-time physio for the ATP tour. So I get to work with men's professional tennis. I've done it about 10 years. Tennis is kind of my passion. I grew up playing it. I played in college and, you know, been probably a frustrated tennis player ever since. So getting a chance to work with guys on the tour and, you know, with some of the greatest of all time, it's just an incredible dream for me. So I was in Atlanta and then just recently got back from a 2-week stint of the Western Southern Open in Cincinnati and then the Winston-Salem Open in here in North Carolina, my hometown.
Yeah.
So
that's
awesome. It's been fun. It's a good time. Great opportunity, but you know, when I'm back home, I'm in the clinic at Smart Athlete Physio and just really trying to work on growing that clinic. And you know, I've been inspired by a lot of your information and podcasts and just trying to implement a lot of the things of some of the other people are posting within your groups and just working on growing. So it's been fun. It's been an experience.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we talk about this idea of everybody thinks they're busy. until, you know, they get a chance to talk to somebody like you who, you know, if we lay it out there, right? Married, kids, like being around all of them, have a, you know, a cash practice that you have multiple providers within. So, you know, managing all that as well as still seeing patients, working, you know, with professional tennis. Oh, and by the way, software company that you just decided to start. So when we really like, you know, lay all the cards on the table, if you think you're busy, you're not as busy as Jeff. and I think we talk a lot about time management because it seems like you do a really good job of being able to, you know, focus on the things you need to within your, you know, just within your different businesses, but also, you know, within priorities that you have, you know, with your family. Have you found anything as you've started to take on more and more roles that's really helped you with management of time? Because I think this is something, you know, with really, really early business owners, they suck at this and it can really be an Achilles heel that slows them down because they just waste too much time focusing on the wrong things.
Yeah. I think the number one thing that has helped me with time management is becoming a parent. You don't realize how much time you have until you have children and how much time you probably wasted in the past. So that's probably made me more efficient than anything. Mm. And then you do realize pretty quickly that, you know, I've got to find a way to get stuff done. So, you know, you're searching, you're trying to just talk to others that have done it well in front of you instead of trying to recreate the wheel. So, you know, we're constantly trying to put a better system in place. And the key is systems, right? Creating systems, putting those systems in place that can be reproducible and free up your time. So yeah. That's why I listen to your stuff. That's why I'm constantly searching for and listening to others to find, you know, how can we streamline our business? How can we make the day-to-day operations a lot easier? And that's the million-dollar question, right? And probably an answer we'll never have, but we're just always searching for the best solution that works for us.
That's well said. I think it's just a better way, right? It's I had a conversation with a friend of mine recently that is has started and sold multiple companies, and he said, he's like, dude, everybody lies to you about, you know, what you want to accomplish in your business. He's like, yeah, you want to grow it, and then you want to be able to take yourself out of it, and then you want to sell it. And he's like, when I did that the first time, he said he got really depressed afterward. And it was because the things that he really liked, he didn't get a chance to do anymore. And once, you know, he made more than a certain amount of money, like it really didn't matter much to him. It was really about the process that he really likes. That's why he started other companies, is because he doesn't need the money. He just likes the process. He likes the work. He likes building something. And I mean, I think that's what's so cool about it. And taking the mentality of constantly trying to build and grow and improve, that idea of, you know, sort of like a Kaizen approach of constantly improving, that's a really cool 100%. Place to be because it's fun, but it also, it gives you something to constantly try to get better at. And I would assume like that's probably the thing that you like as well.
100%. And, you know, I'm lucky enough, like we've grown our business over the last 3 years. I've got two great partners that each have like 20 plus years of experience and have been in the community a while. So, you know, we've had an incredible word of mouth from day one, and that's helped us grow the practice a lot. But, you know, one thing that I've gotten as I practice more and more, and I think this works directly into growing your practice, and it also just makes coming to work more enjoyable, is I'm just trying to get more specific into my niche. You know, I love tennis. I mean, I travel with Tennis Tour. I love working with like the youth tennis population and trying to keep them healthy, make them improve. And so, you know, I'm always trying to, you know, how can I get more into that niche population? How can I make that my sole, treatment base? And that's what I'm constantly looking to do, trying to get that. So I think, you know, I hear this a lot. I think when you're trying to grow, especially a cash-based practice, it really is important to have that specific niche that you can be the expert in, that you that people look to you for the information, and that just makes growing the practice so much easier. And it makes, you know, coming to work every day fun, and it makes all the other stuff that we have to do, the admin side and creating the systems and all that, it makes it worthwhile, because when you actually get to work and do your work, it's you know, what you're incredibly passionate about, and that's my ultimate goal right now, is just to continue work towards that. You know, you develop all these skills over the course of time, and, you know, you want to use those specific skills on the population that you gravitate and help the best. So that's what I've been looking towards. That's been the mind shift that I've had over the last couple of years.
Do you have any advice on, like, obviously you consume a lot of content, which I think anybody can do, but not many people have context associated with that and implementation. Let's say, yeah, they're listening to a podcast and they're like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Most people, they forget about it and they move on to the next thing because they're just so busy like consuming content, but not necessarily applying it. Do you have any advice for people that, I mean, directly probably listening to this, because you do a really good job of implementation. I think that's the difference between, you know, you say you absorb a lot of content, but I also know, you know, you actually like implement things quickly. And that's a big difference. So what advice do you have for people that are constant content consumers, but seem to never really get anything done?
Yeah. Well, I think it's think about what you're trying to create, right? And also talk to your target market that you're trying to create it for, and make sure that it's on the same page. You know, really make sure that what you think in your mind is what the people really want, and then really work hard to create that ideal package or program or whatever, and then do everything you can in your power to implement that. I mean, that's kind of how, that's a lot of how PT Everywhere started. You know, I was looking for a better way to kind of streamline all the admin and day-to-day tasks and be able to get content out to my customers right now. So, you know, we created this all-in-one platform that can manage your practice, but it can also connect you better to your patient. And, you know, from home exercise to health, to telehealth to getting them documents, you know, that's helped me a lot. A lot of my tennis athletes, you know, we're tracking health metrics through the software. I'm sharing important training documents or just educational documents with them. I'm getting them their complete exercise programs. They can message me at any time. You know, we can do video chat. So things like that, using technology a little bit, I think can help. But ultimately, it comes down to, you know, knowing what your target market wants and just creating something that's suited for them.
Well, let's go down this path of PT Everywhere, because, you know, if you want to check Jeff's stuff out, go for it. You know, Smart Athlete Physiotherapy in Raleigh, he's doing a great job with that. But what I think is really interesting is, and I've noticed the same problem within our profession, you just happen to have, you are working on solving it, is as the more out of network and cash, you know, dominant practices grow, and there's definitely many more now than there were 10 years ago. There's inherently different platforms that are what we're looking for. Like, we don't need these robust EMRs to get authorization from insurance and all these other things that goes to like a biller. It needs to be really slick. It needs to be simple and improve our ability to communicate with, you know, with home exercise plans, things that we're doing in particular for doing like detailed program work with them that we want them to follow over a period of time, and they're not coming back for like 2 or 3 weeks. So compliance is really important, but also ease of self-booking is another big one, you know, that I see with a lot of clinicians use, especially early on, because they don't have an administrative, you know, person in-house. And it allows them to leverage technology to sort of fill in for that in some capacity. So tell me about like the origin story of PT Everywhere and the emphasis of kind of starting it and where you guys are today.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're about 5 years in, and it all started where I had where a lot of things started. I had a patient that we were having a conversation, and we were just talking about, you know, how can I get this information to you better? You know, how can I make you more compliant? And you know, she's like, yeah, you know, I would love to be able to have this information at my fingertips. And she was a software developer, and she was actually thinking of, you know, getting into the electronic medical records, you know, industry. And it started there with just luckily having someone that knew how to develop software, and myself that was a frustrated clinician that wanted to get a product out there that could better connect me to the patient, that wasn't designed around, you know, just billing and insurance, but it was designed around, you know, making a provider and a patient-centric platform that could get people better. So that's really where it started, and then it's been a journey ever since. You know, when I opened my cash-based clinic, you can really see from the software, for anyone that's used it, that it's really designed for, you know, it can get you up and running off the ground if you're just at one provider clinic, or if you're, you know, a multiple provider. But that's what we do. We try and make it easy for the patient because it's browser or app-based. We make it very easy for the patient to schedule either through the app or through the provider's website. We make it, you know, all their documents can be emailed or sent within the app. You know, so you're automating the intake form process of it. So you really could. We have a lot of clinicians that utilize our software that don't have a front desk admin. I mean, I think that's their ultimate goal, and I think that, you know, we noticed our clinic jump leaps and bounds once we did hire someone that was going to be on site. But you know, the software is really designed that you can really be without an admin, where you're you know, someone signs up, their intake paperwork is automatically sent to them. They can fill it out within the app. You get a notification. You can review it. They get all their exercises within the app, video or PDF. Very easy to implement your own exercises. They can message you, so you're already in contact with that patient. They can ask questions, and then we've added some really slick features on top of that, like a telehealth feature, which I think is going to be a huge up and coming trend in our profession, from a consultation to actually maybe an insurance based type of service. So that kind of hits on a lot of the main features, but I mean, it pretty much has everything that you need to manage your practice as a cash-based provider.
Now, I'm interested in regards to the process that you went through to build the software company up. I feel like it's something that would take a lot of sort of like upfront time and cost that is a little different than a cash practice is like extremely low entry point to start for any businesses. It's incredibly low. You know, you're talking about a couple $1,000s to start a practice, especially if it's like a side hustle and you can just really shoestring budget it. But with software company, it's interesting. It seems like it would be a lot more resource heavy on the front end, with the goal of then spreading that cost over quite a few users. So what unique problems have you noticed with, you know, a software company versus the cash practice that you own?
I mean, they are very different. You know, the both work with each other, because, you know, in my clinic, we're always trying to look at what we're doing in the clinic and, you know, how can we make the software make our lives easier in the clinic? You know, how can we make it make your clinic more marketable? All these things that we're looking at. But yeah, from a development standpoint, oh my gosh, it's so different. We, you know, we're very lucky that my partners, the parent company, they've got a very very significant development team. So, you know, when we request something, my job is to really just create what needs to be created and kind of define that, and then the development team kind of runs with that. But yeah, it's a massive undertaking, and it takes a lot of time. I mean, until you're actually in this, you don't realize how long it takes, and you know, what kind of staff it takes. It's just a massive, massive undertaking. But you know, as each year passes, though, as we get more and more robust with our features, and we get more in tune with what our people want, it gets a lot easier, though, too. But it's been a completely different process. I have to put a completely different hat on from physical therapy and become a little bit more logical, analytical, it's refreshing. It's nice, and it's been a cool process for me.
So obviously there's some like unique challenges with that, but there's some unique advantages too. So what do you think the unique advantages of, the software application that you guys have developed has over, let's call it just like a traditional kind of brick and mortar business?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly, I think with a traditional brick and mortar, are you talking about from a standpoint of how, the development is different from the PT side still?
More than anything, primarily from a growth scale standpoint and, you know, opportunities you have within a software company versus a brick and mortar business like we own with our PT cash practices.
Yeah, I mean, you're so reliant. I think there are some similarities. Like you're definitely reliant on your customer base for their social approval and word of mouth, just like we are with our patients. So, you know, I think that's critical. You create a good product and, you know, people are very comfortable saying, hey, I love this. You need to use this. So I think that is very similar. But it's different because I think with what we're trying to sell, people don't necessarily know that they need this, right? You know, they see this as an evil, like, one EMR is the same as the other, or it's just all painful. So I don't care. I'll just, no matter how bad it is, I'll just use it and suck it up. So I think we're fighting against, that kind of mindset where we really can make it quite painless and make the transition quite painless and make your actually, your day-to-day admin a lot better and more streamlined, versus, if it's brick and mortar and we're talking physical therapy and people know that they're in pain, they know that they need some help, and they're actually seeking it out. So for us, it's been hard. We obviously, people that are starting up their practice, they know they need something. So that's a really good entry point for us. But it's the people that have been utilizing something for a while and kind of in that mindset where, yeah, this is just bad, but we're used to it. Those are the ones that we're trying to figure out the best way to convert them and say, hey, listen, we do have something that you'll actually probably enjoy and will make your life a lot easier. That's been the hard sell for us.
Yeah, and I feel like early on, it seems like you're fighting against Google in many ways, just because, I mean, and which is a hard battle, with people doing everything in Google Documents, which is, right, very cheap to free, depending on how much storage you need, and but slow. And I think what I've noticed is when people are new in business, and I was very much like this, I had more time than I had money, and I didn't really think of things from a long, standpoint in terms of, what did I want to be able to grow into over the next few years? It was really just about like solving that problem right then. And that's the way I started too. I started with, Google, and then transferring everything was such a pain in my ass that, right, I really would have loved to have, gone back and then had something that I could scale into instead of having to try to re-upload everything to keep myself organized. So, when you have that conversation, I'd really be interested to hear how you guys are positioning that, because if it's just an EMR, it's a commodity, and commodity is really price and or speed are the only two things you can really compete on. So how are you guys having that conversation with newer practitioners that are like, yeah, well, why can't I just use Google?
Well, I think a lot of it, yeah, we hear that a lot, and I think, as with what you're trying to do with your mastermind and all of your education, it's not just about, it's about creating time and creating efficiency. And yes, you can grab five different softwares and try and make them work together, but it's so much easier to take one that, is seamlessly designed to work together. And it makes your life easier. I think that's part of it. That's the education that needs to go. And also that, we're designing something that is specific for this niche. It's designed just for this, where, Google wasn't designed just for cash-based providers. A lot of other EMRs weren't designed just for cash-based providers. And it wasn't taken into account a lot of the pain points that they have. So, we created a product that's very specific, just like when you're trying to, for us, we see a lot of tennis elbow. We like to think of ourselves as the experts in tennis elbow. We know exactly how to treat it. We've seen tens of thousands of these patients, and we have a specific recipe for them. So, I think people come to us because of that, and they appreciate that knowledge that we can give. And I look at it the same way with this product. We've created a product that's specifically designed and specifically will answer a lot of the pain points that our customers want, and a lot of other products can't say that. They're too broad and they're too general.
I think you do a great job of highlighting just the importance of a niche, just in any business, really, right? Like, the having a defined niche that you are really world class at, I think is the best way to be able to differentiate yourself and not be, in that commodity conversation so much. And I think the other thing for you guys is, looking at the marketing side of it, like this, it's just so interesting. Business is interesting to me because it just doesn't matter if you have a software company, a cash practice, if I'm selling ice cream, it doesn't matter. In fact, ice cream probably would be the easiest. Could you imagine owning an ice cream company? Do like, it would be so damn easy. Who doesn't like ice cream unless they're lactose intolerant? But exactly. Either way, let's draw this back. It's like basically the nuts and bolts of customer acquisition, sales, and retention. Those are the big three things. So for you guys, you know, we're having this sales conversation, or your team is having this sales conversation about the software and all that. But from a customer acquisition standpoint, you know, the very beginning of your sort of your funnel, if you want to put it that way, how are you guys getting in front of your target audience and finding them and then getting them to start that kind of journey with you?
Yeah, you know, a lot of that is just started through social media. You know, we're trying to, you know, Jonathan is our director of sales and marketing. He's trying to put content out through Instagram, through Facebook. We've tried and unsuccessfully with some like Facebook ads. I think it was just too hard to target. You know, with physical therapy, I think you can really target a specific patient population, but for us, it was like really hard to target. You know, like a cash based practice with Facebook ads. So, you know, we've just taken the approach of just really, I mean, from cold calls to just scouring social media to just once we get some customers, trying to make, you know, trying to educate them to promote us and incentivize them to promote us. That's kind of the grassroots approach that we've taken, and we finally started to get a little bit of I think social proof and some social traction. And then now it gets a lot easier. Really, once they schedule the demo and they see the product, then that's the easy part. Like, it pretty much is a home run from there. But, you know, that's still the hard part is getting people to actually, you know, realize that they have these pain. I think a lot of practitioners, especially someone like myself that's been practicing for over 20 years, you just don't think that there's anything better. So you don't want to put the time and the effort into looking. So honestly, we haven't found the perfect solution to that yet. We haven't, but, we every month we're gaining more and more traction. We're bringing on more and more customers, and I can't get enough credit to Jonathan and our team for working with that. And I think a lot of it too is customer service. Once we have them, he provides incredible customer service and, you know, education on how to use the product, and that's important. It all translates back to our practice. You know, I think it's, you know, if you get someone in the door as a clinician, you show them that you have a great product and you treat them well and provide them with the care that they need, then they refer friends and they keep coming back. So we've used really that model in the software development as well.
Have you guys found specific metrics in terms of retention? Is this something that I'm just, at least in our, well, in the two businesses that we own, like, we're very, very intentional about retention. And I think we could even be more so. And usually what I see is people are so focused on the front end. They're just like lead generation.
Yeah.
And I guess if you have nobody coming through the door, then that's definitely something that you need to be focused on. But
right.
At a certain point, you have to take a step back and say, like, man, am I trying to fill up a bucket with a hole in it? Because if I have, like, let's say you have, you know, 100 trials every month and only 30 of those are converting, and then those people are sticking around for, let's call it 6 months, and then they move on to something else. It doesn't matter how many leads you get, you're not going to have a functional business. You're actually just going to, it'd be better off for you to just, you know, have nobody, and you wouldn't be wasting all your time hiring other people. So, you know, when you look at retention, what kind of strategy and approach have you guys taken to decrease churn and turnover with people leaving the platform that you've noticed that have been beneficial?
Yeah, we've had such little turnover. And again, I you know, attributed that to being a, you know, a product that meets the needs of what our customers are looking for and our great customer service and support. So maybe when we did have some people that left, it was in the beginning when our software wasn't as mature as it needed to be. It didn't have all the features that people were looking for. But since then, I mean, there's really close to 0% churn. So, you know, and that's the good and the bad of it. Like, there's a lot of, and you talk to, you know, the one, you know, like most clinicians, and they hate what they're using, yet they've been with it for 10 years. So this is the good and the bad of what we're fighting against. Like, we've got people that absolutely hate what they use and are going to stay with it because they know what kind of a pain in the ass it is to transfer over. At the same time, we feel like we've got a great product and it works for us in that regards, where, you know, no one leaves. And it's not because they dislike it, it's because, you know, we're actually giving them what they want. So ultimately, again, it goes back to that lead generation. It's making people realize that, hey, there is a better product out there. A lot of people love it. And once you make the switch over, you know, you're going to be very, very happy. And that's, that's really, I think, the biggest thing, the biggest issue that we need to tackle. Retention for us has not been an issue, and we're constantly, every month, we're probably developing more and faster than we should. We're always putting new stuff in all the time, and we take a lot of feedback from our customers, which I think is very unique, because I've been around for 20 years practicing, and there's been multiple attempts for me to call into some of the platforms I was using, and you know, I knew instantly that they were maybe writing down my idea, but it was never going to get implemented. You can almost, you know, if you have a good idea and you're one of our customers, I mean, it's going to get implemented probably very quickly. If there's that need within our customer base. So I think that helps us a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Well, having the ability to be nimble with that, especially early on is really, it's pretty rare. I read a book called the Lean Startup, which I assume you guys kind of took this route based on what you're describing, where, you know, you have this minimal viable product, you put it out there, and then you get feedback in real time from your customer base, and you start to make changes to improve it, versus, you know, people that wait. And this is a fault in any business, put it that way, where people, they plan and they plan and they wait and they wait, like it's just not the right time. And this has to line up this way and it has to be perfect. Otherwise, you know, I just can't get going. And then that's what they know. What they notice is like, it's 10 years later and you haven't done a freaking thing because you're too worried about these little, you know, intricacies of the thing you're trying to do that just, you haven't even gotten started, you know, and I'm assuming that would be the same in your, you know, this software company, because it's such an albatross of a undertaking that you've basically decided to do. And, you know, how do you guys fight that sort of perfectionist mentality and really just say like, hey, we can improve. Like I know we're going to get some negative feedback probably for certain things, and that's okay, because that's going to give us an idea of what we need to improve. But how do you work on the lack, or like not becoming a perfectionist at the same time?
I think you just have to, once you're in software, you kind of realize that no software is perfect. Everyone's going to find something that they don't like about it, and you can't avoid bugs, right? So you, I think you become, you realize that pretty quickly, and you know, the job is just to put out great content, you know, really try and throw that off of your customer base and get their feedback, put out great content, and make sure you're very diligent in the development side of it. But yeah, I mean, it's software. So, you know, someone's always going to have a complaint. Someone's always going to say, well, why can't you do this? You know, we'll keep churning out some really great features. And then someone's like, oh, you know, we need this. And I'm like, you know, it's just a process. It takes a long time to develop these things. And I think we're incredibly reactive to what our customer base wants. But at the same time, they got to realize that there's, you know, a lot of the other softwares out there, they're not going to take what their customers are saying at all. You know, they're not listening. They're not trying to develop. And I think that's what separates us from the rest, is that we're constantly adapting, constantly looking for what our customers' pain points are, and where our competitors are probably not doing that, or they're so large and so established that it's really hard to make significant changes in your software. That's another thing you realize pretty quick. You know, if you haven't developed your platform correctly, then it can be very hard to be nimble and make these changes.
Let's draw this back a little bit to your first business, your cash practice, and what you guys are doing in Raleigh, which is, you know, it's cool to see expansion that you guys have over the last couple of years, kind of multiple providers and having, you know, partners in that role, which is interesting. It just goes to show you there's a lot of different ways to be successful in a business, whether it's, you know, you go the kind of straight employee route, or you have more of like a partnership, you know, revenue share, actual equity share, lots of different ways. But what have you found in particular for younger practitioners? A lot of people are listening to this that, you know, they're on the fence about starting a practice. Maybe they just got going. Maybe it's just like a side hustle or something like that. But you know, within that first kind of 6 months to 12 months of getting going, is there anything you wish you could go back and tell yourself to either do or not do, that you wish you could, you know, go back in time and tell a young Jeff?
The number one thing is that I should have done it sooner. You know, I think I was too cautious going into it. It took me too long to change my mindset that this could be done. So I think the biggest thing is belief. You know, if you are confident in your skills as a clinician, there's no reason that you can't make this happen in a cash-based setting. So it's a mindset. You got to have that mindset. Once you have that mindset shift, then the rest is just putting the time in, which we're already doing. You know, every day we're already doing that standout quality customer care. You've already honed your skills. Now it's just about, it makes it almost easier once you go cash-based, because you can create your optimal treating environment, you know, which you can't always do in a more traditional clinic because you're limited by time or volume or multiple other things that we're all frustrated with. So, you know, that's the number one thing. I would have done it sooner. I would have went into it more aggressively sooner. And, you know, I would tell myself, just believe in yourself. You know, that's really the number one thing. And then start to follow others that have done it well as well.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. You know, I think the easiest way to achieve what you're trying to do is find somebody that's already done it and then just follow what they've done. I mean, it's sort of like a coach, right? Like when you're playing tennis, there's plenty of good tennis, you know, coaches that probably weren't like the best players in the world, but they were probably were like somewhat competitive and good. And you align yourself with those people and you get feedback inherently of what's going on. I think that's the biggest challenge early on is it's sort of like somebody dumps you in the middle of the ocean in like a rowboat. And not only do you not know where you're going, but you also don't know how to row. And so you just start going, right? And you start, usually there's a lot of effort. So you're just like pulling really hard and you don't know if you're going in the right direction and or if you're being efficient. And then you start to like sort of figure things out usually the hard way or the slow way. And then it sort of starts to click and then you start to move in the right direction. But man, if I could have gone back in the first like 6 to 12 months, whenever I was in business, dude, I would have told myself all kinds of things about like actually getting some help. I think early on people are also, it depends on the personality. I definitely felt like looking for help was a crutch. I was like, nah, I can figure this out on my own. Right. Like, no, I'm a lone wolf. You know what?
Right.
Like, when there's a lone wolf, that means they're old and about to die, or they've been like, you know, cast out of the park. Nothing good comes with that. And, you know, I think, you know, for you in particular, bringing partners on, how has that been since you went from, oh, it's just you getting started, and now you have these two other partners working together? How's that relationship gone and how's the business gone since then?
It was the best way. I mean, it caused an exponential growth instantly, which was great. You know, again, I have two partners that are good friends of mine and well established in the community. So that right there helped. Not everyone has that from the start. You know, they haven't been practicing for 20 plus years and in the community. So that helps a lot. That already gave us that instant, you know, social proof and word of mouth that, you know, that it's very important. It takes time to build up and you have to do that. But for me, that was, you know, I was also developing software and I was also traveling anywhere from 7 to 10 weeks on the tour. So it just gave me the ability to, we were able to commit financially to more things, you know, get better location, put more money into the business initially and have like that consistent patient load right away. And then from that point on, now our focus is really on, you know, we realize there's a lot of people that do want to transition into the cash-based world and a lot of people that just want to moonlight a little bit, make some extra cash, pay off student loans, you know, treat a niche that they really want to treat. And so that's what we're putting our effort into. And, you know, having the three of us there there's an established workload. And now we can focus on bringing in great providers that want to moonlight a little bit, that want to develop a specific niche. That's really our business model now. And, you know, it's been very successful so far. We just brought on a women's health specialist. She's a great clinician and, you know, she's gonna hit a home run. And then we're talking with another, local PT that's got a specialty sports niche and we're hoping to bring him on soon. So that's bringing on partners has allowed us a little bit of financial stability early on. It also allows us to, you know, get to our goals faster and distribute some of the administrative load, which has been great. So it's been very positive for me.
No, that's great. Obviously, Jeff's a super smart guy. You want to check his stuff out, Jeff. If people want to check out, you know, your practice and your software company, where's the best place for them to go and find some information on that?
Yeah. So if they want to reach out to me, jeff@smartathletept.com is an easy one to go to. Our website is smartathletept.com. If you're looking for software or, you know, the the perfect practice management solution for physical therapists at PTEverywhere.com.
Cool. Go check it out for sure. I got nothing but good things to say about what Jeff's doing, in particular his software. So guys, if you're looking for something that is, you know, an application you can grow into, this is one that a ton of people in my mastermind group, you know, actively are using, and definitely something that if you're just getting started, it's a good way to scale into that. And, or if you have, you know, multiple practitioners, it still accommodates that as well. So Jeff, thanks so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it. I think people are going to get a lot out of this one, and you know, we'll catch up here soon in person. Maybe we can get to that pizza place and it'll actually be open next time.
That'd be excellent. I look forward to getting back to Atlanta, and please keep putting out the great content, because I enjoy, I have probably a 25-30 minute commute every morning, and I enjoy listening to your podcast. It's always relevant information, and it's great stuff. So keep promoting. You've done a great job so far, and our industry really needs people like you. So thank you very much.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you saying that. I know sometimes it's like, I look at the content calendar and I'm like, dude, you're cutting it close, man. It's a Tuesday, and you know, you got to do a podcast. It's like Monday night, and our producer is texting me, but it's been, including Doc and Jock podcast, it's been over 4 years that I've gone, at least one, if not two podcasts every single week. So I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. I love getting the feedback from that, because sometimes it is a bit of a burden to get the information out, but it's just so cool to hear how it's impacting the profession. And so I appreciate
it. I'm sure it is a burden, but it's great information, and you can tell you've been doing it a while. It's good stuff. So we appreciate that.
Well, cool, Jeff. Thanks so much for that, guys. As always, thanks for listening to the podcast, and we'll catch you next time. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.